The Chris and Steph Podcast.
1-2-1-2, yeah.
It's an old school.
Are you ready?
And today, officially the very first for 2017 Fitzbo Friday, it's back again. Free fitness classes that we like to run on a Friday, strangely enough. If you want to be a part of it, you can jump on the website, hit.com.au. This year, thanks to Pollitz. You can register your details online and be a part of the free fitness classes every Friday morning heading into December. The first one's just kicking off now at Pollitz, and Steph's down there participating. Morning, Steph.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I'm actually pretty nervous down here this morning, but I'm currently joined by Ben. Now, Ben is going to be pushing us to the limits, no doubt, down at Pollitz for our very first Fitzbo Friday. Ben, what's in store for today's class?
Oh, well, that's a surprise, you know what I mean? You know, I'm going to give you a bit of a surprise, but we're going to start with some stretching, and then we'll go into a few things. We might work a little bit of technique, and then we'll do a lot of cardio. So we're going to work mainly on these Fridays. We'll work a bit of technique, but a lot of cardio and a lot of body shaping for you guys so we can get you whip into shape for summer, you know?
Did you do that, Chris? Cardio. Yeah. Cardio, my favourite. Well, I better get stuck into this, but I'll let you know how I'm going in a little bit.
Oh, good. All right, thanks, Steph. Fitzbo Friday, it's happening right now at Pollitz, but there's still chance to register for next week. Jump online, hit.com.au, and get your details in there, and you could be a part of our free classes. There's also a special prize on offer. One person attending this week's class is actually going to win a prize. So every week, prize going off. More details, hit.com.au.
It's an old school.
And we are celebrating not just R&B Fridays today, but Fitzbo Fridays, of course, partnering up with Pollitz for our free group fitness classes every Friday morning. You can register your details to be a part of it at hit.com.au. But the first class has actually kicked off this morning, and that's where Steph is. She's participating in it. So let's see this morning how it's all going with Steph.
Okay, Chris, I'm actually, like, full-blown buggered. I have no idea what I've been doing. Ben, the trainer's here. Ben, what do you think of all the ladies' form today?
Oh, they're doing good. You know, I've got some of my girls that train another days and things like that, so their technique is good, of course, and getting better. You guys are going to get better and better each week. We're going to learn more and more technique. We'll learn the number system of our boxing. But, hey, I'm about to take you in the ring, and you're about to give me a beating, right? We'll do some sparring.
Oh, yeah, beat me up a bit. See how we go. I struggle with my left and rights a bit. Is that a common problem, or is that a new experience for you?
No, it's common. It's common. When you're doing these combinations, I call a right, they throw a left. It's because as you get tired, you know, you don't think as clearly, and, you know, that's how it goes. But as we get better, you'll think clearer and clearer, right?
As we get tired. Thanks, mate.
There we go. Well, the first Fitzbo Friday is underway today, but don't miss your chance to be a part of next Friday's class. And all you have to do, register on the website, hit.com.au, and a prize up for grabs each week. One lucky individual from the class will pick up an amazing mystery prize. And I've had a look at this week's mystery prize, and it is pretty good. Be a part of it, hit.com.au. It sounds like a whole heap of fun down at Pollitz. There's a lot of words I just had to say then.
You did well, because can you hear me heavy breathing in the background? I'm just like...
Well, I thought, had for a bit while Wheezy McGee has a seat for a second. Because where is your puffer? Did we bring the puffer into the studio? I've got a spare one just in case.
I didn't want to do it in front of the other kids in case they made fun of me.
How was Fitzbo Friday?
Fitzbo Friday was
at Pollitz.
Yeah. It was, like, amazing. Like, for anyone who's just tuned in, like, I've just ran through the door. I am a sweaty ball of mess.
Yes. A sweaty ball of mess is not the best description, but we'll go with
it. It's quite adequate at this point in time.
Yeah.
It was so cool. We got to do, like, some jabs, some punchy jabs, and some... kicky kicks, some roundhouse kicks, and
great.
Some front kicks, and we got to like this is crazy, but Ben Pollitt, who runs the sessions,
yep,
we got to like punch and kick him in the head. I'm actually going to put a boomerang up.
Like, we got to punch and kick him in the head.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yes,
but full blown, like, I actually just kicked someone in the head. I'll we'll be putting out the video very shortly.
You can register for next week's free group fitness class, hit.com.au, or thanks to Pollitz. But in the meantime, we've got to do this.
Fortune Cookie Friday.
Yeah, Fortune Cookie's at the go-go this morning, 13, 12, 16. I know you are not prepared for this, so I will just run into the segment this morning. Steph, would you like a fortune cookie?
I would love one.
Because what we do...
If you're about to, like, lose a lung.
What we do, 13, 12, 16, ring in now if you want a fortune cookie. We'll read out the fortune and hopefully it gives you some direction for the weekend or the week or the months to come.
All right.
All right?
Let's do it.
Good. Breathe. Remember to breathe. Cookie for you. You may be disappointed if you fail, but you are doomed if you do not try.
Fitzboration.
You reckon that's Fitzbo Friday?
That's Fitzboration.
You got to get out there and try it. You may be disappointed if you fail, but you're doomed if you do not try.
Yeah. I can get that because there was a couple of times in today's session where I was like, guys, do you mind if I take a nap? I'll just curl up in the corner here and cry for 10. And they're like, come on, Steph, get back into it. And I was like, no, let me just, you guys go. I'm just going to do some radio stuff. I'll call Chris and have a chat to him instead.
Can I do just what I call my speed cry? Okay, it just takes about 5 minutes. Get it out of my system. I'll be good again in five, okay?
That's it.
Back up and running.
I've got a cookie if you want one.
Oh, you do actually? Yeah. I wasn't sure if you had your cookies ready this morning because I'm like, you just ran in quickly. I didn't know if you brought your bag of cookies with you.
I got a bag of cookies.
I've got his and hers cookies, obviously. All right, well, I'll have that one, thanks.
Fortune favours the brave.
I haven't done anything brave recently. Well, it is a forecast, so I suppose it's for the weekend to come. I'll be called upon to do something brave.
Yeah, I think so.
That's not like me.
Maybe it's another Fitzpiration. Maybe you, you know, should be brave and squat.
I didn't think this segment would finish with the phrase you should be brave and squat, but you know what? I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm just going to make the call now. 13, 12, 16. If you want to be a part of Fortune Cookie Friday, we'll read out your fortune and try and give you some indication of what it means.
Fortune Cookie Friday.
Handing out fortune cookies, giving you the messages, trying to forecast what the future is going to bring.
Yeah, just a little glimpse as to what the weekend ahead may hold.
Yeah, I read you one before. Yours was, I'll give the cookie effect as well. There we go. Your step was, you may be disappointed if you fail, but you are doomed if you do not try.
And I was like, Fitzpiration, pop it on a board. Fitzpo Friday, I am there. Better give it a go.
You could
give it your best shot.
Instagram that quote.
You could, couldn't you?
Instagram inspiration.
Yeah.
What was the one you said for me?
Fortune favours the brave.
Fortune favours the brave. Basically an opportunity for me to be brave in the future.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity. You don't have to answer. Like.
Yeah, you'll have every opportunity to be brave.
But do you? Do you step up? Yeah. If opportunity knocks, do you answer? No, I'm good, thanks, opportunity.
Yeah, just go back in your box.
I think we've got Erin this morning on 13, 12, 16. How are you, Erin?
Wonderful, thank you.
Wonderful.
That's good.
Looking forward to the weekend?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Well, do you have plans? This is what we usually do, get a bit of background information before we give you a cookie. What are you doing this weekend?
I have a work Christmas party this weekend. Getting into it nice and early.
Was that under your advice that they have it so early?
Yeah, just in case they want to have another one closer to Christmas.
Cool. Nothing like two back to back. All right, well, we'll give you a fortune cookie. Let's grab one of these out. This says, the smart thing to do is to begin trusting your intuitions.
Mm.
I think that has to say what, you know, know when you have to leave the party.
Yeah, be careful because I know office romances can often be strife after Christmas parties. You've got to be careful of these sorts of things. So maybe trust your gut when it comes to making sure that you don't, you know, get too silly in the silly season.
I really feel like that will benefit me this weekend.
Yeah, good.
Good,
Was there any ever potential for a work romance to happen?
Oh, of course.
Oh, really? Trust your intuition.
You just never know. These things just...
You don't know. Well, maybe the cookies know.
Maybe the cookies know more.
There you go. Okay.
Very interesting. All right. We're not encouraging the work-office relationship thing as well. Obviously, there's, you know, a memo that goes out before the word Christmas
party.
Check
the policies and procedures manual.
Yep, no fraternising with the other staff members. Thanks very much.
That doesn't go out.
Doesn't that go out?
What is the romances are a great Australian tradition. I think that's how a lot of couples meet.
There you go. Well, interesting.
But you just should be careful. Be mindful of management.
You be on your best behaviour.
Love-free business, thank you.
One of those love-free businesses. Tell you what, thank you very much for that, Erin. Next, we'll talk about how much we're actually obsessed with our mobile phones. A great insight and great study into how we're so not willing to let go of them at all.
I don't know what you mean as I check my phone.
We will do that next.
Get up with Chris and Steph.
Mobile phones this morning.
Yeah, all right.
There's this great little video clip slash study that's been released by a guy named Raphael Valenti.
Mm-hmm.
He's conducted a bit of a research throughout Sydney, walking through Sydney and bumping into people intentionally with their mobile phones. And so he's trying to interrupt their viewing.
Their time. So then they apologise because they just assume that...
Yes.
Am I right? Am I on
yes,
it?
Yes, to see how badly we're addicted to our mobile phones and what the reactions are. He didn't actually get that many apologies.
Yeah, sometimes people don't apologise to me when they bump into me, and I'm like, you bumped into me.
I think about 100 people he ran into and only a handful of apologies. But the interesting part of the study was that the majority of people that he came across were actually watching videos as they walked along. So they were watching movies, shows,
probably watching
YouTube
social experiments similar to the one they're in.
Yeah, so they're actually, that's something I don't do. I don't watch videos as I walk along. Maybe I'll read text messages or flick through Facebook.
I don't have the coordination to do two things at once.
But it's a very interesting film. It's called I'm Sorry, a film about people getting glued to their phones. You can check it out online, but it is some of the most boring yet kind of interesting people watching you will ever see.
Yes.
Because the reactions go from disgruntled to not even registering that the bloke's there whatsoever because they're just stuck on their phone.
Those are the people who have that earpiece in their ear?
Yes.
Gosh, those people annoy me.
The people with the earpieces in.
Earpiece. You don't need an earpiece. Your life isn't so important that you need an earpiece at any one time.
But apparently not a struggle to find 100 people to bump into on their phones
no.
in Sydney.
Gosh, who would have thought?
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The Beachwood Homes. Visit their new displays in Patterson Gardens Estate Orange.
We should all know the rules by now. Keep your hands off it.
Mm.
That is what they say. Mobile mad drivers have paid $11 million in fines for driving while texting.
$11 million
while texting, talking, using social media, which has prompted some of the coppers to ramp up their efforts to sort of catch these sly motorists.
When you say $11 million, is that nationwide? Or is that...
No, that's
statewide.
Yeah, no, that's nationwide, but only in the last 10 months with police nabbing 23,000 drivers.
Holy moly, okay.
So in a bid to catch more sort of mobile-addicted motorists, they're now getting a lot of SUVs for the police, so they sort of sit up a little bit higher so they can see you.
Yes.
Because, like, police have been saying that they've been catching people not only just on social media and not on just multiple devices, but watching, like...
Really? While you're driving?
While driving.
No, right, okay.
So we said keep your hands off it. Illegal phone use carries a $476 fine and 4 demerit points.
Well, nothing's more distracting. That's very interesting. Here's a game that you can play today. Just drive down Summer Street and count the amount of people you see on their phone while driving.
It's shocking.
I reckon you could get to 10 by the time you get to the car wash.
But it's not even the texting. I reckon I just drive around town and I see so many, you know, old mate in the ute or whatever. A lot of ute drivers.
Lot
I'm not
of
saying
drivers.
All the ute drivers,
no.
But just I do see a lot of ute drivers holding their phone to their head. I'm like, mate.
What are you doing?
Keep your hands off it.
Also, too, trending now is the company behind Pokemon Go, if we remember that craze.
I thought you said we would never speak about Pokemon Go again on this show.
We're not, but technically we're speaking about the company who have admitted that they're working on something similar for Harry Potter fans, an augmented reality game where you can hit the streets and you can help out the wizards fight the other bad wizards, whatever they
do. I'd be no good for this because I used to have the video game of Harry Potter.
Yes.
Like of the Prisoner of Azkaban one. And what are those soul-sucking Dementors?
Dementors.
Whenever they came on screen, like the controller would vibrate. It scared
the life out
of you so much. I was so afraid of them. I wouldn't be no good in some augmented reality where I can just see a Dementor like hanging out of the studio door.
Well, that's the idea. So get
no
ready
thanks.
For it. They're on the way with that one. All thanks to Warner Brothers. That's the team behind Pokemon Go. If you want more details on that, head to the website now, hit.com.au. Find out what's trending with Scoopla, and it's all thanks to our friends at Beechwood Homes. But hey, this morning, 13, 12, 16, tell us about your amazing school project. That's what we want to talk about, amazing school projects.
There's some good ones out there. What have you got for us?
A couple of schoolgirls, Westminster students, have proved that in a school project, the characters of Jack and Rose could have survived on the door in Titanic. They've won, actually, the National Maths Talent Quest because they've mathematically proved that both the weight of Jack and Rose in Titanic, they could have both, you know, survived on the door and stayed afloat quite comfortably.
So can I ask just quickly, great thing. I mean, they've done a good job and it's a question that the world has been asking for a long time now.
Yep.
But how old are these girls? What year did you say they
year
are?
10,
year
10.
Year 10. So they're year 10 students, 16. So how old were they in 1997 when Titanic came out? This is like their mum's problem, not theirs. That's, anyway, move along.
They weren't even born when the actual Titanic sank. How far do you want to go back with this?
They put on them.
But yeah, the group of three managed to prove with their own research and mathematical formula that yes, the lovers would have made it if they both stayed and didn't chicken out. Commitment issues, obviously. But 13, 12, 16, amazing school projects. Have you got one? What did you do at school? Have you got one?
Oh, I've got a couple. Many. Yeah. I think the most offensive one I ever did, if that counts for anything.
Oh, no.
I went to a very conservative school. I'm talking the most conservative school you could possibly imagine. And I decided to, for my Year 12 project, to present to the class, like my Year 12 speech. We had to deconstruct a music video clip and play the video clip in front of the class. And everyone did, you know, sort of the meaning behind a lot of the lyrics, the verses, how it was talking them through life and connection and godliness and everything else that, you know, came with video and music.
What was it?
Benny Benassi and the push me and then just touch me till I can get my satisfaction. So I did that one.
Right,
it's a song.
How did that make it through? Like,
well,
was there no,
playing that in front of
no
my
checks?
Very conservative teachers and as my final piece. Everyone's jaw just dropped because one, shouldn't have been playing that at school. Like, if you remember the film clip, it's girls wearing nothing but tool belts.
I've never seen it before.
But I spoke about the sexualization and exploitation of women in the media. So
sound like you put a lot of work into that presentation.
It was good. It was really good.
All I was going to say was I made a functioning catapult at school. And it actually shot stuff across the school to the other side.
That's cool. That's a really cool project.
Not sure if that's technically illegal now, but at the time at school, I think it was still okay at that point.
It was all right?
Yeah.
You didn't put kids in there?
Then my brother actually...
The preppies walk in, you're like, all right, load them up.
My brother actually made a functioning lava lamp, organised with the chemistry teacher to purchase all of these highly volatile chemicals... And made
a lava lamp.
Three functioning lava
That's
lamps.
That's nifty. That's really nifty.
So 13, 12, 16. Amazing school projects / controversial school projects. Maybe let's broaden that out just a little bit. 13, 12, 16. What did you do? We want to know. This morning, 13, 12, 16. Tell us about your amazing school projects. We say this because a couple of students, Year 10 students in Westminster, have killed it in a competition because they presented a mathematical formula proving that both Jack and Rose could have survived on the door in Titanic. Killed it. Absolutely
nailed it,
won big time. Yes.
I mean, you made a catapult that actually physically catapulted.
A physical catapult.
I don't know what you're catapulting, but something.
What was it at the time? I don't know. Well, maybe it was a toy car or something. We had to have something big enough so we could see where it landed and it was a colour.
Yes.
So it stood out. Yep. You couldn't just do rocks because, oh, there's so many of them. Like, that could be it. That could be it. But we actually had a marker of some description so you could go, all right, well, that's gone 60 metres. Like, that's how far it's gone. I know, nerdish now, but at the time, full-blown catapult.
Oh, I don't think that's cool. Nerdish at all. I think there's so many young boys being like, yeah, cool now. Idea.
Yeah, don't do it. You can't do it now.
Oh, don't make catapults at home?
No, no. I think we're past...
Leave that to the circus?
Yes, leave that to the circus. Absolutely. You were saying yours was a video presentation at school.
Yeah, my Year 12 final video presentation at my very conservative school where I played quite a raunchy video clip and spoke about the exploitation of women in the media.
Right. What year was that?
Year 12.
Year 12.
Final piece.
Final
yeah.
piece. Right. Yep. What score did you get?
Actually, it was the only A+ they'd given a Year 12.
Really?
I got high distinctions through all my Year 12.
Very
and
interesting.
And they'd never given that high. Like, and it wasn't... It was all meant to be filmed and sent off and everything else. And, like, people were... I had to stop the video. I was told not to play it anymore. And then I jumped into my speech.
All right, you can stop now. Steph, stop. Just hit the stop button.
I got
button.
This. This is totally inappropriate. Please stop. So I had to stop the video, but then I did my speech.
We'll give you an A+. Stop. Just please stop the video. 13, 12, 16. I think we've got... Who's joining us? Hannah, this morning. Tell us about your amazing school project. What was it?
Oh, my gosh. So my daughter was 7 at the time, and she had to do a project that involves a procedure.
A procedure?
Like with steps and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So she wanted to do how you breathe through your lungs. So I was like, oh, yep, cool. And so, I get some balloons and straws and whatever. And she's like, no, Mum, I need a real lung. And was really upset at me.
That's dark.
Did she want real lungs?
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean a lung? And she goes, like a human lung that no one's using. I need one. I was like, no, mate.
Great. How did you handle that conversation, by the way? How did you go, Mummy's not actually going to go and harvest any organs. I'm sorry.
I had to tell her, just wait a minute and I'll see, because I had to come up with a reason to not laugh at her. Because she goes, obviously, little children don't like when you laugh at them when they're being serious. So.
No.
Had to compose myself.
That's the parent delay, which is just give me a moment, honey. I'll see. What the hell do I say? What do I?
Pretty much. I was like, no, mate. It's not like shoes. You can't just go buy one. They're made, and you only get like 2 lungs. So
You can't just pop down the shops. I'll have another set of human lungs. Thanks very much. Yeah, that's not going to work.
No, you better go into eBay.
But I get that where kids don't always have the 100% understanding of this is how things work.
Yes, you have to sort of take them through the steps of sorry, we can't harvest organs.
And we've covered creepy kids on the show many times.
Kids are great.
Many times.
Now bless their cotton socks.
When there's another groundbreaking development, you can trust one person to cover it.
You know, I'm a huge fan of science. Speakers, cutting cane toads in half.
This is Steph's Super Science-y segment.
Okay, for this one, we look at a university that studies dog cognition centre, like their dog cognition centre.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And anything they could have picked to study, let's study puppies. Got it.
If I was to go into a science, it would be dog cognition.
Dog cognition.
All right. So in a study which has been published in Scientific Reports, which must be some
magazine
or something.
Yeah, my copy hasn't arrived yet. Has yours arrived?
No, not this month.
I think it's late.
Anyway, a dog cognition expert has said that what the team did was test how dogs' facial expressions changed in response to different factors.
Okay.
So their facial expressions when it's in front of a human, like when a human's facing them, versus when the human's turned away, and then with food and without food.
Okay, so what's the result?
Well, after performing the experiment on 24 dogs of different breeds between the ages of 1 and 12, go with me, researchers studied that the recorded expressions and a coding system that measured how many expressions they had, they found that the dog was more expressive when humans were facing them as opposed to when their bodies were turned away, and found that food had no impact at all on their facial expressions. Yeah.
I would have gone present food, dog goes off.
Yeah, because you expect that, that cartoon where like their eyes pop out of their head,
and their jaw drops to the floor and the tongue unfolds.
Yes, that one. Real dogs don't do that. Anyway, according to the research, eyebrow raising,
raising it. No one can see it, but she's actually raising her eyebrows, making it the most interesting and baffling radio this year.
Which helps dogs achieve those puppy dog eyes.
Oh, yes.
Dogs have learned to adapt to know that puppy dog eyes are actually something that gains them more attention, so they are able, when you're facing them, to turn on said puppy dog eyes.
Really?
Yep. So they believe that that behaviour could be showing you know, the dogs reacting to you and putting that on to show that they care. It's their way of communicating with you because they know that you respond well to that.
I'm sorry, puppy dog eyes doesn't work on me. Doesn't work for grandma, doesn't work for the puppy dog. It's not going to work at all. Sorry. No,
well,
puppy dog
no,
eyes.
No, but what it's showing is that your dogs can communicate with you on different levels. Like, this isn't a thing that comes naturally to the dogs. They don't just, like, raise their eyebrows and make their eyes look big for no reason. They don't do it when they see a toy, when they see food. They do it when they see their people. Loved owner.
Yeah, okay. Good story.
It is a good story. It proves your dog loves you, all right, mate?
Usually we like to go out the week on a high. Like,
this is a high. I think this is fantastic that your dog can put on facial expressions just for you.
I mean, dogs loving you isn't breaking the internet today. It's
what?
Not like it's isn't it universally
no,
known
some
if it was
like,
cats. I mean, cats are terrible.
Ugh.
I mean, I enjoy cats, but they don't love
backtrack.
You.
Backtrack. Yeah. Well, yeah, like when you pick up your dog and you're like, I love you so much, you little puppy dog, don't you love me back? And you look at them and you're like, do you love me back, or do you just know that I feed you and walk you occasionally?
Yeah, well,
but then now you know if they've got their big puppy dog eyes. Boom, they love you because they're communicating
you.
With you.
Good, yeah.
That's like top dog cognition experts, mate.
What other Breakfast Radio show is talking about top dog cognitions today? Who?
The good ones.
The good
best
ones.
Radio
the
stations
best.
Out there. Thank you.
There you go. So glad you saved that segment so we can go out on a high this week.
That was the Chris and Steph podcast. Thanks for listening, whoever you are.